Let's go to Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. Colossians chapter number 3. We just started chapter 3 last week, so we'll read here a few verses and pick up where we left off. Let's look at Colossians 3, verse number 1, church, and I want you to really apply your mind and heart tonight to what we're going to learn, because it will make a difference in your life. Paul has been very doctrinal in chapters 1 and 2, and now he's going to get real, real practical. The rubber's going to meet the road, as they say, and he's going to get very practical. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if that's your position, and it was, and we talked about that last week, he's not doubting that they are. He's just using a common way of talking. If this is true, then this ought to be true. And he says, if you're risen with Christ, he said, then look, notice, seek those things which are where, church? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And, you know, our eternal life, our eternal blessings, our eternal rewards, man, those things ought to weigh heavy on our mind as we pass through this earth. We never lose sight. We never lose sight of what's really important. And these are the things that are important. And that's why he said, set your affection on things above. I mean, think about it. You could have $1 million bank account down here, but when you die, how much of that million are you going to leave here? Million. You're going to leave it all, right? You're not going to take it with you. So, therefore, if I've got 70 years down here and $1 million to show for it, but yet I'm going to live out there in the eternal ages to come forever with really little or no rewards to show for my life on earth, that makes sense. See, and that's what he's saying. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what's important, and that's what he's trying to bring out here. Now, verse 3 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I got to tell you, I love this verse. And I mentioned it at the end of last week, kind of as a teaser. Only a believer who understands their position in Christ can appreciate this kind of verse. Look at verse 3. For ye are, say it with me. Dead. Come on, a little bit louder. For ye are what?
Dead.
Man, I want them to hear it online when they listen to that, all right? I want them to hear you out there. For ye are dead, but then he turns right around, he says, and your, what?
Life
is hid with Christ in God. I love it. I'm dead, but yet I got life. For ye are dead, he says. He says, for you're dead, wait a minute, and your life. And you know what? You scratch your head and you think, well, wait a minute now. Is that double talk? I mean, if you came to me and you said, hey, I need to talk to Pastor Rich. Where's Pastor Rich? And I say to you, oh, Pastor Rich is in the choir room right back here. Oh, and when you get in the kitchen over in the fellowship hall, tell him I said hi. You think, well, that's double talk if I've ever heard it, you know. And you read this, and unless you have an understanding of some doctrine, you read that and you think, I'm dead, but I got life. Now, wait a minute, what? Well, there's another verse that's very similar to that. And look at your handout. I actually printed it and put it in your handout to save a little time. Galatians 2:20 is a very similar verse to that, where it says, Paul said, I am what? I'm crucified with Christ. Man, that's death. Wait a minute, but nevertheless, I live. What? But then he said, yet not I. Yet not I. Wait a minute, wait, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, this is what we call the doctrine of identification. In your handout, I want you to get a statement. Here's the doctrine of identification. Christ not only died for us, that's substitution. That's the doctrine of substitution, and that's a valid doctrine too. He died for me. That is, he took my place. So he not only died for us, but we died with him. That's the doctrine of identification. We actually died in him when he died on the cross. So he didn't just bear my sins, he bore me on the cross. That's the doctrine of identification. When Jesus Christ died, it was not his death. So what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, think about it. The wages of what is death? Sin. But did he have any sin? No. So that means sin had no way of killing him. Sin had no hold on him. Sin had no legal right over him to be able to kill him. So when he died, obviously it wasn't his death, because the wages of sin is death, and he never sinned. So it wasn't his death. Well, whose death do you think it was? It was my death. It was your death. It was our death that he was dying. See, he was. We are identified in that death. When we humble ourselves and we believe that truth that I just shared, that was our death he was dying. When we believe that and we accept that, okay, and we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit places us in Christ at that moment. The moment your heart comes to understand that, believe that, accept that, and receive that, then the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. Christ's death becomes your death. Christ's death at that moment becomes my death. Why? Because I'm in him. His history becomes my history. I'm in Christ. So whatever is true of him is now true of me. It's kind of like this. I've used this illustration before. When Denise and I got married, had I died before Clint and Clayton and Caleb were born, my three sons, had I died before they were born, okay, would they be here? No. No, their life was wrapped up in my life. See? So if I died, in a sense, they'd have died in me. They would not have been born, because they're a product of me, my seed. So if I wasn't there, then they wouldn't have that life. We, at the moment we're saved, we are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. When that spiritual operation of God takes place, the old Dan Proctor and his sins are dead and buried with Christ. That's why he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The old Paul, the apostle, the old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, dead and buried. But yet, the new Dan Proctor, now think about this, if the old Dan Proctor is dead and buried, because remember, his history is now mine. So he died, I'm in him, then I died in him. Does that make sense? He died, correct? Did he die? Did Christ die on the cross? Okay. Did the Holy Spirit put me in Christ when I got saved? Then if he died and I'm in him, I died in him. Okay? Now I know it's Wednesday night and y'all are tired, but I want you to get this, okay? Remember, what's true of Christ is now true of me. Because remember, I'm in Christ. His history is my history. So now think about it. If he died and I'm in him and I died in him, okay, if it ended there, wouldn't be such good news. But it doesn't end there, does it? 3 days later, what'd he do, church? He rose again. He didn't stay dead. He was raised up with resurrection life. Well, wait a minute. If I'm in him and I died in him, the old Dan Proctor, that means there's a new Dan Proctor that was raised up with him, and that means I've got resurrection life. I now possess the life of Jesus Christ. I'm in him. His history is my history. I'm in him. And that's what we learned back in chapter 2, didn't we? Look back there if you want to glance back there. It's good to connect all these dots together. What did we learn back in chapter 2, verse 12? I'm buried with Him. See the with Him in verse 12, Colossians 2, 12? Buried with Him in baptism. Wherein ye are also what? Risen with Him. His history is my history. Through the faith of the operation of God. This is a spiritual operation that took place. Who hath raised Him from the dead. Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's the old rich Costanza. See, dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's the old rich. But then He says, hath He quickened. So he gave new life to Rich. So now he's quickened together. And what's the next two words? With Him. You see the doctrine of identification here? Having forgiven you, notice the new rich that's been raised up, the reason why he can have that life is because he's been forgiven what? All trespasses. So this is the doctrine of identification. The old Dan Proctor, the old man, in your handout there, I'll give you that statement. The old man and his sins are dead and buried with Christ, but yet my spirit pulsates with life, resurrection life, the life of Christ, and then it says, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I'm in Him. I'm in Him. Wait a minute. He died. I'm in Him, so I died in Him. He was buried. I'm in Him. I was buried with Him. But praise the Lord, He was raised up with resurrection life. I'm in Him, so that means I've got His resurrection life. Tell you what, after a hard day at work, that's some good news, isn't it? Man, that's good news. That's good teaching right there, folks. You need to see your identification with Christ. Yes, He died for you in your place. Yes, He was your substitute. But you need to see your identification with Him in that death. See your identification with Him in His burial. See your identification with Him in His resurrection. And that's why you now have life. And that's why Paul could say in Colossians 3:3, look at it again, for ye are what? Dead. Remember, I'm in Him. Identification. I died in Him on the cross. But notice, that's why he said, you're dead and you're alive. You see, Paul understood the old Dan Proctor's dead, but there's a new Dan Proctor that's been given life. And that's why he said, you're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, when he says this thing about my life is hid, what's this thing about a hidden life? Well, think about this with me. Christ, is he when he walked the earth, obviously he was alive and he walked the earth for 33 years. And then he resurrected and he walked the earth for 40 days and there were people who saw him in his resurrection body. But is he still doing that today? No. In your handout, it says the world cannot see him and his resurrection life. You can't see Christ. You can't see his resurrection life. There were certain ones that saw it for a short period of 40 days, but then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. We learned that in verse 1. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Well, now, think about this with me. The world cannot see Christ. They cannot see his resurrection life. Nor can the world see the resurrection life that now pulsates in my inner man. Go with me to 2 Corinthians real quick and keep your bookmarker here. Let me show you something. This is why Paul uses this expression here in 2 Corinthians 4. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Are you there? Come on, let's get there. Let's apply our minds and hearts. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. He says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. When the life that you have, the life that is pulsating in your inner spirit, it's a hidden life. He says your life is hid with Christ in God. It's a hidden. The world cannot see that. Just kind of an illustration here. I brought in this balloon here, and if I blow some of my breath, some of my air into this, I'm dizzy. All right. Now, if I do that, can you see that air? Can you see my breath in there? Yes or no? Can't see it. It's something, it's hidden. You knew where I was going. No fair, Jan. Can you see the results of my breath and my the breath of life that I put into that? Can you see the results? Yes. He says, your life is hid. This treasure is hid in earthen vessels. I'm talking about your body. Earthen. These are clay. These are just, your body's made out of clay dirt. It's an earthen vessel. So the life that you have, that resurrection life, is hid inside an earthen vessel. Now, we said you can see the results. So, do you think it's possible, while people cannot look into my spirit and see His resurrection life, can they see the results of His life being in me? Hopefully. In your handout, it says that's why Paul says that our life is hid with Christ in God. And let me just say this to you, okay? When he talks about your life is hid with Christ, even when you allow His resurrection life to be manifested through you, and I hope you do. I hope you let His life. I hope that since you got saved and since the life of Christ now pulsates in your inner man, I hope that's worked its way out, and I hope people at work have noticed a difference in you. I hope your family members have noticed a difference in you. I hope that your wife or your husband have noticed a difference in you, and I hope that people have noted there is a change or something different there. And I hope the life of Christ is being manifested, as Paul said, in your body. But even when it is, the world, for the most part, doesn't recognize it. They don't attribute that life to Christ. Or even if they do, they don't necessarily appreciate it. I mean, why is it that people can get saved and the life of Christ now begins to be evident, but how many times do you see it where their family members really don't appreciate it very much? You know? Well, think about the verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. That's your new position. Remember? Identification. You're in Him now. Well, he says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the world isn't always going to appreciate that life working out of you. Well, in your handout, it says the world didn't appreciate the life of Christ when He was on the earth. And for the most part, they won't appreciate it working in us either. The world did not appreciate the life of Christ when He was on the earth, for the most part. And for the most part, they're not going to appreciate it working in you either. Go to John 15 real quick, the Gospel of John. Notice what Jesus said here. John 15, verse 20. Well, let's go up to verse 19. John 15, 19. It says, Jesus told the disciples here, He said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, I mean, the life of Christ is visible on earth. There he is, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, sinless, holy, and they didn't appreciate it. And he said, look at it. He said in verse 20, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So Paul said, if you go back, go ahead and flip back now to Colossians 3, because we're going to continue there. So Paul said, you're dead. And your life, oh, praise the Lord, we got life, is hid with Christ in God. And by the way, doesn't that make sense now why he said, seek those things which are where? Above. Why would I want to seek after the things of the world when I'm dead to the world? I'm dead to the world. Paul said in Galatians 6, I'm crucified unto the world and the world unto me. I'm dead to the world, but I'm alive unto Christ. So I don't possess an earthly hope. I got a heavenly hope. I'm dead to the world, but I'm alive unto Him. He said, you're dead. But, he said, you got life. He said, your life, which is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. I love, this is one of my favorite verses too. When Christ, and I love this next phrase, I got it underlined. When Christ, who is our life. Can you say that with me, that phrase? Who is our life shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear. There's those two words again. Remember identification. When he appears, then we appear what? With him in glory. Man, that's good stuff. When you got saved and you received the gift of eternal life, I don't know what you pictured in your mind, but maybe you pictured eternal life as some heavenly substance that God imparted to you. And that's not accurate. In your handout, it says our eternal life isn't just given to us by Christ, it is Christ. Our eternal life isn't just given to us by Christ, it is Christ. Go with me to 1 John, back towards the book of Revelation. Keep your bookmarker here. We're going to come right back. Go back to 1 John, all the way back to 1 John. Chapter number 5. Christ is our life. Our life is Christ. He doesn't just give me life. He is my life. Look at 1 John 5, verse number 11. 1 John 5, 11. Now follow this. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us. What? I like it. Y'all are talking to me. Good job. So God's given me something. What's he given me? All right, eternal life. There you go. And this life is located where? In his son. Well, wait a minute. If eternal life is in a person, then that means that if I have that person, what do I have? I got life. Look at the next verse. He that hath the son, remember, in him is life. Okay, the life's in the son. So therefore, if the life is in the Son, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God. So if you don't have Christ, then you don't have what? You don't have life. So to have Christ is to have what? Life. We received eternal life the moment we trusted Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit placed us in Christ. Made us one with him. Ephesians 5:30 says that we are of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You have been made one with Jesus Christ. Well, think about that. In your handout, it says when you trusted Christ, you were brought into a state of complete oneness with Christ. So if I've been made one with him, if I've been made one with Jesus Christ, then very naturally, what have I received? Eternal life. Why? Because he is life. That's why he said, Christ, who is our life. You guys know this verse. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But how do I get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is life. So if He's life, that means that He's the means by which I get life, because He is life. So if I've got Him, I got life. If I don't have Him, I don't have life. That's why Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, I love that. I just love that verse. In your handout, it says you cannot get divine eternal life any other way other than through Christ. He's our life. You can't get it any other way. If He's life, if He is life, and He is, then that means if I want life, I can't get it any other way than through Him. I got to be brought into a state of oneness with Him. And that's what happened when you got saved. Dead religion can't give you life. Dead religious leaders cannot give you never-ending life. Hey, science, science, despite its boasts, do you know science has never figured out a way to give you everlasting life? Hey, they can't even figure out where life first came from. If they can't even figure out where it first came from, and all they can do is theorize on that, then you know what? If they can't even figure out where life originally came from, then you know what? They're sure not going to be able to give you life that never ends. Educators, for all the good that they do, and educators for the knowledge they give, they cannot impart to you life that's eternal. Those in the medical field, again, for all the good they do, no matter how hard those in the medical field try, no matter how many new medicines they come out with, the medical field cannot impart to you life that's eternal. They just can't do it. The only place eternal life can be found is in the one who conquered death with finality, resurrected from the dead, and is alive forevermore at the right hand of the Father. Now, somebody who's beaten death, somebody who's given death a black eye and overcame it, now we're getting somewhere in how to overcome it, amen? It's in a person. Life's in a person. Life is in a person. Aren't you glad that life isn't in a religion? You know? And aren't you glad that your eternal life doesn't rest on whether or not I'm sinless today? Amen is right. And you know what? One day the living Christ will, it says in your handout, I want you to write this in, one day the living Christ will appear. Go back to Colossians again, 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, oh, I love that. And then he says, shall appear. Well, what's that all about? One day, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, remember, we're in Christ, we're going to have the opportunity to physically, visibly see the one who is our life. Because we have been made one with Him, Paul says, look at the verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Remember, identification, I'm one with Him. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We call this appearance the rapture. The rapture. Looking at my clock here. Flip forward one book. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This explains it in a little more detail. Paul just kind of hits it quick in Colossians 3, 4. Boom! When Christ shall appear, boom, you're going to appear with Him in glory. And boom, he hits it and goes on. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, he hits it with more detail. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet who? The Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be, notice, with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, the next scheduled appearance of Jesus Christ is that event called the rapture. Now, on the screen up here, there's a chart that I did a long time ago called Christ Appearances. Christ has made some appearances. He made an appearance on the earth for 33 years. He made many post-resurrection appearances for 40 days. He ascended up to the right hand of the Father, and Christ appeared to Paul. We know he made an unscheduled appearance to Paul from heaven, where he began to reveal this time of grace, the mystery that we live in today. It was an unscheduled appearance. The next scheduled appearance would be his coming in wrath. But instead he came in grace, and he saved Paul. See, that was an unscheduled appearance, and praise the Lord that he did that. And now the next scheduled appearance, if you keep moving to the right, you see the arrow going up. That is the rapture. That's when we're caught up, what we just read, to meet him in the air. Christ's appearance in the clouds. That's his next appearance. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3:4, our text, when Christ, who is our life, didn't just give me life, he is my life, shall appear. That's the next scheduled appearance for Jesus Christ. And then, of course, 7 years later, he makes another appearance coming down to the earth in wrath and in judgment. And so this is what Paul's dealing with. Look in your handout with me, and let me give you a statement, and then we'll look at a couple of verses here. In your handout, it says, when this event happens, we will receive glorified bodies that are of the same nature and substance as Christ. Now, here's what I want to do. I want you to have your handout on one side, but then I want you to flip back to Colossians. Just go back a couple pages, back to Colossians 3, and look at verse 4, and I want to compare here two passages here. Look at Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We just read about that in detail in 1 Thessalonians. That's the rapture. When he appears, then shall ye also appear with him. And what's those last two words? In glory. Now, that doesn't just mean in heaven. When he says in glory, he is telling you how you're going to appear with him. You're going to appear with glory, in glory. Not just, he's not talking about a physical place. He's talking about the character and the nature of your new body. Look with me now in the handout. That's why I wanted you to see the two passages. Look at Philippians 3:20 in your handout. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for that appearance. Now notice, who shall change our vile body. Now notice this, that it, your body, may be fashioned like unto his, that's Christ. And then what's the next word? There it is, glorious body. He said we're going to appear with him in glory. In glory. We are going to receive glorified bodies like Christ that are able to function out there in the heavenly realm throughout eternity. Because of your oneness with Christ, you're going to have the unique privilege of actually participating and sharing in the glorification of Christ throughout the heavenly realm in the ages to come. In our state of oneness with Him, our glorified bodies are going to radiate His glory in the ages to come. Paul said that we are seated in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, He might show through us what is the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're going to radiate His glory. What did Paul say? For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In the ages to come, you will reveal His glory. You will share and participate in the glorification of Christ throughout the heavenly realm. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, Aren't you glad that our afflictions down here, Paul said, they're but for a moment. In light of eternity, anything that we're called upon to suffer down here, really, in light of eternity, isn't it but a moment? Yeah, it's just a moment. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory. In your handout, it says, remember, Christ is the head and we're His body. So it's only natural that when Christ makes His next appearance to end the dispensation of grace, we, His body, will appear with Him in what? In glory. You ever heard anybody say something like this? Well, boy, I tell you what, she showed up at the party the other night, and let me tell you, she made an entrance at that party in all her glory. You ever heard somebody talk that way? She came in all her glory. Well, you know what, folks? At the rapture, we are going to appear with Him. But you know what? It won't be in all my glory. You know what? I'm going to be clothed and radiating His glory. His glory. I'll have a body like His. And I'll share in the glorification of Jesus Christ throughout the heavenly realm. Aren't those two great verses right there? You know, I mean, to be honest with you, I was chomping at the bit and couldn't wait to teach these tonight. I mean, these are two of my favorite verses in the Bible. That you're dead. And your life, I love that, is hid with Christ in God. Identification. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, He didn't just give me life, He is my life. When He appears, guess what? I get to appear with Him in glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, what a blessing this is just to see our identification with You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have been fully identified with You. Your history is our history, and Your future is our future because we're in You. We're identified in You. Thank You for doing that for us. It isn't because of our merit. It isn't because of our works. It isn't because of something good we did. It's all of Your grace. We want to thank You for it. Thank You, Father, that we get to participate in this great glorification that's going to happen in the ages to come of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You that we get to participate in that. We get to share in that. And thank You that the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thank You that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We love You, thank You, and praise You. In Jesus' name.